today. Joe Biden's State of the Union is tonight. I'll have our table's predictions on how it's going to go, the latest on Ukraine and Russia, and the World Health Organization is still pushing for vaccine passports. We've got all that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and I'm joined today. It's going to be a good conversation. I'm joined today by Blaze TV contributor Yacoub Bouyans, host of The Bottom Line. Also Blaze TV host Stuber Gear, host of Stu Does America, which you all should also be watching and subscribe to on YouTube and wherever you got your podcasts.
Yeah, we're doing special watch along State of the Union coverage tonight. So if you want to watch it and not be really irritated by Joe Biden, we'll be there for your sarcastic comment.
Good commentary.
Yes.
Come on.
That's exciting.
It's good to be on with you, Stu.
Yeah.
I haven't been on with you in a while.
It's been
good
a while.
Yeah.
I do love when you two are on together because you tend to have slightly different views. And I just like antagonizing you guys.
But huge respect,
fight,
though. So. I've got massive love.
I know.
Sure,
no, I love it. So we will, of course, get to what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. But first, I want to talk to you guys about the State of the Union. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, and we've been talking about this week, it is tonight. We discussed yesterday that, you know, when you're following the science leads you to these amazing revelations, like right before the State of the Union address is to be delivered, there are no mask requirements anymore in Congress. So luckily for them. Now, I did hear that that they will still have to take a COVID-19 test. So there are a few Republicans who say that they are not going to attend the State of the Union address. There is Mary Miller, Bob Good, Matt Rosendale, Andrew Clyde, Chip Roy, and Marco Rubio all said that they would not be attending. Some of them, Rosendale specifically, said Speaker Pelosi is politicizing the State of the Union to further the radical left's COVID-19 agenda. Members of Congress should not be subjected to COVID-19 tests and social distance when it is not necessary. And the entire nation has ended most, if not all, coronavirus restrictions. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like, hey, if I'm not showing symptoms, I'm not symptomatic, like I shouldn't have to test to get into this thing that I have to do for my job. So there it is, several Republicans not going. I want your take on what you expect to happen tonight, maybe what you expect Joe Biden to say. I know in recent days he has made comments like people's psyche because of the pandemic is not allowing them to see how good it is out here. There's really good things happening, you guys. And it's just like COVID's just made you guys really bummed about everything. And so it's just really, it's a mental problem that you have that you can't appreciate how great the robust economy is. So I imagine that we'll hear about how great the economy is, because don't believe your lying eyes, believe what our leader is telling you. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is going to deliver the Republican response. Interestingly enough, we discussed this on the show yesterday, Rashida Tlaib will deliver a Democrat rebuttal on behalf of the working, the Working Families Party. So that will be interesting. But as I said yesterday, whenever the Democrats are eating their own, I like to just sit back and let it happen and watch it and appreciate it, because Lord knows we have our own problems to deal with. But how do you guys see this playing out tonight? Is Biden going to come out and take credit for ending COVID and, make some, I don't know, I keep waiting to see if he's going to make some announcement about like no more masks on airplanes.
No, I do not think he's going to do that.
Yeah.
I think he'll take credit for COVID. Yeah. He'll take credit for the economy. I mean, look, if you.
Well, I mean, he should take credit for the economy.
It is his
fault.
For the dismal state of the economy.
I would love that. I don't think that's where he's going to go.
No.
I mean, because if you go back, obviously, and this, they've been doing this the entire time. Saki does this all the time. If you pick the right point to measure it from, of course the economy's improved. We shut the whole thing down,
right?
2 years ago. So you measure it from 2 years ago and things look pretty good.
Like, we didn't let you work for a really long time, but now we're letting you work again, and you should give me credit for
exactly
that.
Yeah. This is a standard practice of the president. I mean, everyone knows there's spin involved in these things, but to take credit for like the biggest job gains in history coming off of a pandemic when everyone got fired within like a 2-month period, is not just disingenuous. It's several steps past that. I do think he'll try that. You know, I personally would like it to go back to a letter. Our founders were like, hey, how about regular updates on how the country's doing? And now we've turned into this giant spectacle where everyone claps for 4 hours and Congress people gather around to get, you know, autographs from the president. It's the exact opposite of what our founders would have wanted. The spectacle is here, though. We have to deal with it. And it's going to be, especially the economy stuff, agonizing to hear him take credit after all the damage he's done. And for the factor, you know, we're not in a good position here. It's not like things went from bad to good. Right. Things went from bad to slightly less bad. Right. And he's going to take credit for that. It's going to be agonizing.
Yeah, but I want to throw into the conversation, too, Yaku. You mentioned, you know, they stand there for a very long time. The speeches are very long. This is starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. So you got to wonder how much Joe has in him, how much gas he has left, yeah. Unless they're shooting him up with something to make him have some liveliness about him.
It's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating some serious blunders, some misreads, some miscues, some gasps from his own party because he's going to say things out loud that was behind the scenes, and you know, but look, I don't know if it went from bad to less bad. It's gone from bad to worse. The two presidents on planet Earth right now, they are looking like absolute buffoons. If someone could rival Joe Biden, it's Putin, right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. Biden's been in the buffoon camp since day one.
Yeah, but Putin seems like he at least knows what he's doing.
I think
he's
there's
just
something else going on there. And Steve, you did a great job with Glenn on the show the other day. You really did a great job. Right. I want to tell you.
Just the
that.
Other day. Not just,
yeah,
not,
most days,
just
no.
The
not
one
most
day.
Days. Just that one day. I'm going to give you one day's credit.
Thank you.
No, but I'm expecting tonight is a lot of spin. But I think he's going to hammer on COVID, on the great job they did with COVID. Mm-hmm. Because remember, this is their moment to get the whole nation to, if there's a recorrection to be made in the media for where they've steered off the rails, this would be their moment to recorrect mm-hmm. back to their narrative to try and regain control of the narrative, right? So I'm expecting that tonight. I'm expecting gross, ridiculous statements like, you know, massive correction and the economy is great. The stuff you mentioned about don't see what you see, but listen mm-hmm. to me because I'm Uncle Joe. I'm going to see bold, stupid statements, I think is what we're going to see tonight. Like absolutely ridiculously stupid.
Like wartime level yeah. propaganda yeah. type statements.
Because they've got
That's
to somehow correct.
They've
got to somehow correct the ship because yeah. they've lost control of the reins. The horse is running in a wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm expecting that. And then they'll run it for the next 2 weeks on repeat.
Right.
You know, if he can put four sentences together.
So I want to get it. I want to keep talking about this, but I want to throw into the equation, you know, we're talking about how we think that the administration has been doing. But, you know, I want to hear from the administration personally, which Kamala Harris, great representation of the administration. And I don't quite know what she was trying to go for here, but I think she's saying, like, you got what you voted for. Doesn't come out quite right. Let's listen to Kamala.
Because as we all know, elections matter. And when folks vote, they order what they want. And in this case, they got what they asked for.
$8 gas. No food on the shelves. Oh my gosh.
Because that is
so bad.
Don't say that.
I know.
This is a.
And the three people who are like, yay!
Oh, no.
Yeah! Let's cover this up by clapping. Woohoo!
No, she actually thinks that comment is positive. That's the problem. That's the disconnect. There's a cognitive decline in our country that is almost immeasurable. I believe she believes that was a statement of our people got what they wanted. They got me and Joe. We got what you wanted.
Something all right.
This has been since day one a non-stop circus.
A pile of poop is what it is.
Yes. I mean, you saw the they had that 40-mile convoy in Russia and yeah. into Ukraine yes. of all these. This has been a convoy of that length of yes. catastrophes. Every single new week, there's a new thing that they've screwed up. Have they done anything right? I mean, can you point to anything that they've done right?
No.
I can't think of one single thing no. that you'd be excited about. And I don't even mean from our perspective. I mean, I guess if you're on the left, you'd be excited about the COVID package at the beginning, which they jammed all sorts of bullcrap into. They spent a couple $1 trillion. Democrats seem to always like that.
Infrastructure.
But even for them, they're like, well, you should forgive all our student loans. He's like, nah.
Yeah, right. I mean, they didn't get that done. The infrastructure bill, they got done. However, remember, the progressive side of the party was saying, like, we don't even want that passed unless we get Build Back Better.
Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Now, look, he spent a bunch of $1 trillion. He's ruined the economy, especially when it comes to inflation. He pulled them out of Afghanistan, but in a catastrophic way.
Terrible.
I mean, it's been nonstop disaster. And yes, Kamala, for once, if I want to give him credit for getting one thing right, it was that statement. People got what they asked for.
Sure did.
This is what they voted for. This is what they're getting.
Yep.
And get ready, because think about this, guys. Think about this for a second. Joe Biden has not yet, at this moment, given one State of the Union yet.
Yeah.
The first one was a joint session of Congress.
About that.
This is his first one.
Yeah.
We still have three more years of this.
Look, I'll say this. You know, when a movie is really, really good, you need popcorn and Raisinets.
Yeah.
Get that tonight.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a show, folks. You don't want to miss this one, right? You know, but here's the other thing. One thing we figured out that works really, really well in our country right now, we can print money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we figured that out.
Yeah.
The printing press is working.
At that. Yeah. And then I don't want to leave her out, the first lady, who, now it would be one thing if this was a mistake that has only happened. This was like the first time that it had happened. It had never happened before. But this is a mistake that everyone in the administration seems to continue making, calling Kamala Harris the president of the United States, even from the first lady herself. Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United
States. Yeah, Joe, you're chuckling.
Did you see him? He's like, whoa.
I just said that to make you laugh.
All right.
The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris.
That was not a good recovery at all.
I just said that to make you laugh.
The fifth or sixth time that someone has introduced Kamala, including the president, right? Introduced Kamala as the president of the United States.
Did President Donald J. Trump ever refer to Mike Pence as the president of the United States?
Well,
Did he ever refer to Melania as his daughter or his sister?
No.
Did Melania ever refer to Mike Pence? I'm telling you, these people are on some kind of a chemical.
It's weird.
That's eroding the last two brain cells that's left.
It's just weird. It was weird the first time it happened. It's weird that Joe Biden's own wife is saying it. I mean, I guess you could say, like, that's just what you say, the president, and it, like, rolls off your tongue.
No, it doesn't happen.
But I'm just saying, how many times can it happen before you're like, what are the conversations that are going on behind closed doors that we need to know?
Right.
Do we have a still of the Joe Biden, or the Jill Biden picture, what she was wearing, by any chance?
I'm sure. Yep, there it is.
Glenn saw that and said she was Cruella
DeVille.
The Jill.
She is Cruella
DeVille.
Because she does look
really
like Cruella DeVille.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Look, this happens.
Or a confused zebra.
Yeah.
Either one of the two.
I'm concerned, too. Like, what exactly is the joke? She said she just said it to make funny. What's the joke? Oh, is it a black woman being president? Is that the joke, Jill? Is that the joke, you racist? You can't even imagine a black president. And therefore, it's a joke. It's hilarious to you to say Kamala would be the president.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Spin it up, Stu.
That or it's a joke to say that her husband couldn't hold the office for that long. What is she, an ableist?
Very good.
Joe Biden throws his hands up like, what am I? You're doing it. You're calling her the president.
He's doing it himself.
There's conversations going on behind the scene. It has to be.
Further, to go back to the mask conversation for a second. He's sitting there in an N95 mask. Kamala Harris is sitting there in an N95 mask, and Jill doesn't have one on. Yeah. Do we not care about Jill's livelihood? If this is a serious situation where you would need an N95 mask, why doesn't Jill have one on? Why, since the beginning of this administration, has Jen Psaki never worn a mask in the press briefing?
They don't deem them essential, I guess.
I don't think I've ever seen
a picture of her with a mask on, even.
I don't think I have either, though I don't know that she never wears one.
I'm sure she has, but I've never seen a picture of it.
Give Jen Psaki enough attention to even know. what yeah. she's wearing, to be honest. When I hear it, I just go switch the dial.
Yeah, it is an irritating noise. I will give you that. But I mean, you know, that room is a small, tiny room.
Oh, I've been in, it's very small.
Jammed in there. Yeah. All of them are wearing masks, but she can sit up there for multiple years and
they're
not
required
wear one.
To wear masks.
Yeah, but she's not.
And not even when she like leaves the podium, there's no mask that she puts on. She just
and it wouldn't make. It's like this thing where like they've been doing this with what was the Joe Rogan controversy where he was saying the N-word.
Yes.
And like everyone's like, well, shouldn't we look at the context of what he was saying? He was like quoting people.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're like, there's never a context where the N-word can be said. Well, why did Leonardo DiCaprio say it 800 times in Django Unchained?
Yep.
Because it was a movie? It's okay in a movie, but it's not okay for Joe Rogan to quote someone saying it? Like, there's these dumb rules.
Like,
that
the writer can write
sense.
It, and the director can tell the actor to say it.
A white guy can write it,
but
and a white actor can say it.
But it's a different context. Come on.
Totally different context.
Well, it was only 800 times.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah,
if it was 900, maybe. I don't know. All right. We've got more to come, including an update on Russia and Ukraine. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold Group. So, look, we talk about inflation all the time. You want to know what our current out-of-control inflation looks like? It looks like paying 47% more for fuel than just a year ago. It looks like paying 41% more for the same used car if you buy it this year instead of last year. Oh, and by the way, almost 10% more to feed your family. Every dollar in your savings is worth less than it was a year ago. We are talking about really, really bad things on the horizon, some of which have already happened, and you have to hedge against the U.S. dollar by investing in something with real value. You can do that with gold and silver from Birch Gold. Precious metals have historically been a safe haven in times of inflation. Birch Gold is the leader in converting IRAs and 401ks into a tax-sheltered IRA backed by gold and silver. They've got a ton of satisfied customers, an A-plus rating on with the Better Business Bureau, and they can help you protect your savings. Don't wait until it's too late, you guys. You are going to lose money. You can text the word Y to 989898. You'll get a free info kit on gold. There's no obligation. There's no reason not to do it. Just text the word Y to get more information to 989898. Senator Chris Murphy, I found this very interesting that he was just in a classified briefing on the Ukraine crisis, and he left it and then went to Twitter and was like, hey, I just left this classified Ukraine hearing. Let me tell you some takeaways that I can share, which is like, I hope that he got clearance to share everything that he shared, because it seems very weird to say, I just got done with this classified briefing. Let me tell you about it. But he shared some takeaways, including confirmation that the Russians have fallen behind on their timeline. Ukrainian resistance has been fierce. There have been multiple Russian equipment and logistics failures. And that's kind of what we're hearing on the ground, is that for some reason, Russia has not been as strong as anticipated beforehand. But there may be some of you out there who are just still, you listen to this program every day, and you're just still a little bit unfamiliar with what is going on when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. Luckily, we just heard from Vice President Kamala Harris in the last segment. Luckily, we have her again to break it down for us in a way that the average American can understand. Here is the Vice President of the United States explaining the Ukraine crisis. Watch.
If you're watching any level of news, even social media, you're seeing everything that's going on right now in the Ukraine. Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country.
Ooh.
Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
What?
Wow.
Wait a minute.
To be fair, she did give it to us in lamest terms.
That's
first
true.
Grade.
That
first grade
she
level.
Did, I mean, I can't imagine dumbing it down any more than that. The problem is, I think that is her understanding of it. That reaches the level of her understanding
of it. I'm worried that that was classified. Was that classified information? Because that was going too in-depth.
I want to say something classified with her. See, Texas is a little state below Oklahoma.
Really?
In between a big country called Mexico, and there's a border. And they're basically, the big country is invading Texas, the little state. That's basically not not okay.
That's a great point.
And it's basically your job as the czar to protect that, but you wouldn't know much about that.
Well, she is focused. She is the border czar, but what we didn't know was that she's only supposed to be the border czar when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. That's why she's commenting on the border there. They just didn't specify.
You know what we should do? We should give her a map border. And say, find Ukraine on a map and watch her search.
It's really embarrassing.
Because she couldn't find the Texas border.
Well, they invaded, and that's wrong. Can we also just talk about the fact that she keeps changing her dialect depending on who she's talking to? The clip that we showed before, I was like, what accent is this? This one, she's on with a black morning show, and you can hear her try to,
it's
like...
all the nervous Texas, yeah.
Liven up her voice to make herself sound a certain way.
Golly, I feel so dumb when we talk about this woman. I mean, it's like, it sucks all the life out of a room. Seriously. That's the vice president of the United States for a second. It's a joke. It's a laughing stock.
Especially when you have Joe Biden as president, right? Like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, the guy could
which
be,
one is worse?
Yeah, the guy, we saw him with them walking in the mask in the field by himself. Who knows? He could just keep going one day.
Go never chasing see him. Again.
His picture's going to be all
Secret
over.
Service
let him
like,
walk. Don't redirect. Just walk straight off Pennsylvania Avenue.
There's going to be a silver alert for Joe Biden. I was wondering, where's the guy walking around? Look for a guy by himself in a field with a mask. It's probably
him. My Breaking Bad. Oh, there he goes.
There he goes. And then, but like, you know, you might say, hey, Joe Biden's done a really bad job. You want to get him out of office. But with this as the replacement?
No, you cannot.
I think that would be...
No.
I mean,
you'd need a 2-for-1. You got to get rid of both because this.
Oh, so then you get Nancy Pelosi. I don't want that either.
This would be
a lot of pens. There'd be a ton of pens going out the door if we get Nancy Pelosi.
You may want that just as a personal.
It's all about us. We're just trying to be selfish
good
here.
Gracious, guys.
None of these would be good for the country. And you wonder how this turns around. I mean, 3 years seems like an eternity.
A long time.
Now, at least come November. Likely Republicans will get control of something and can at least block a lot of the worst stuff that he does. But still, you know, we've lined up our country against the foundational sort of view of the founders, which was Congress really being the most powerful branch. And now we have an executive branch that seems to be able to do whatever they want. The only thing that stops them is the Supreme Court. You know, they'd have the vaccine mandate in today if it wasn't for the Supreme Court and 25 other things that they've tried to do that absolutely are not the purview of the executive branch. So even with a Republican Senate and a Republican House, it's going to be hard to block some of the crazy things that this guy is doing. And we're just going to have to deal with it for the next 3 years with one of these two.
In the meantime, it starts today. Today's primary day in Texas. In the meantime, we've got
it is. I'm so glad you brought that up.
No, I'm going to bring it up because I'm sick and tired of the Republican Party only focusing on the White House. Local. It's local. In the meantime, we can take the Senate and the House, but even today, if you haven't voted yet and you're watching this, you may have an hour after you watch this. Get out and vote. But all the local races, I mean, it's so important that we really please stop just looking at Senate, House, and White House. We have to fortify locally because it's going to be blood sport.
Yeah. I do think that's changing a little bit. I mean, you see it with the school board votes and things like that.
But I want to drive it home. Though.
I think that's really important. You know, I mean, obviously we're a national venue for news, so we wound up getting caught in that a lot. And I think because people take in podcasts and they take in cable news and stuff, they're thinking about those national issues a lot more often. Yeah. That's good at some level.
No, it is.
But it throws you off the focus. Really, you have a chance to actually do something in your local community. Your vote in a presidential election, as much as we talk about it, how important it is, and it is important, is a minor piece. It's hard to move enough people to change an election like that. Locally, you can do it. You put in effort at that level, you can actually change these things. And that stuff affects you much more closely. You know, it's much more close to home. It's your kids at that school. It's the tax rate you're paying in your area. You know, it's stuff that hits you a lot of times much more personally than it does.
If I just looked
level.
At this primary election, okay, and there were so many uncontested races in both parties, we should not have uncontested races anymore. Yeah. Even if it's a guy who is a Republican and I'm a contest, competition is healthy.
Yeah.
I want to see 10, 12 people run for every single seat. That's where we're at. That's the kind of engagement I want to from the community, from the business leaders in the community saying, okay, we got to go take this back. You know, I don't want to see uncontested
races.
Well,
I think one of the problems, though, too, is that, and I mean, I know this by being so close to the Prather race, is that they make it, all the red tape that they have, make it so impossible for the average person to be able to run. You have to have a huge, you know, fund behind you. You have to have a lawyer to explain to you so that you don't break, you know, ethics rules and all of these other, the red tape that they put into place, seemingly so that they can keep the little guy from being able to create a grassroots movement, because it, like, a lot of the rules are just so ridiculous. It's like, why are these even here other than to just prevent someone from running who isn't an elite?
And there's a lot of, and there's a lot of party crime, a lot in both parties, where they, the party has elected somebody or chosen somebody pre-election.
Right.
All of a sudden, three or four other people want to run in a, in a, in a primary, and they just silence them, or they push them out, or they coerce them, and then they do. And I've got absolute verifiable firsthand evidence of this, telling people you shouldn't run. You haven't paid your dues. You're not part of the party. What makes you think you can, you're qualified coming out of the private sector? And I go, that's exactly what we need.
Right, yeah.
Because the last president that did a good job came from the private sector. He was not a rhino.
Well, and the president now has been in, what, 40?
200 years.
72?
200 years.
That's a great point.
1972.
1972.
It's horrifying. Into the Senate.
It's, I mean, absolutely no clue what the private sector is like. And he's running the entire country.
Out of touch. Completely.
All right. So when we come back, let's talk about the World Health Organization, who is still pushing for a framework to have a vaccine passport. We'll get into that after the break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Omega XL. So those of you who you may be like me and you have these like random times where you wake up and you throw your back out for like really stupid reasons, like rolling out of bed in the morning or something. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You reach the age. Maybe you have arthritis. Maybe you've got some knee pain. Maybe when it rains, you're like, this really hurts. Whatever the case may be, you've got to try Omega XL. Omega XL is going to reduce the inflammation in your body, which you don't realize that is actually what is causing your pain. It's the inflammation. So if you're rubbing a cream on wherever the trouble spot is, you're not actually doing anything but just masking it. It's just a Band-Aid. It is not actually solving your problem. Use Omega XL. It will reduce the inflammation. It will get rid of your pain, and it can change your life, because then your mood will be better. You'll feel better. I'm really telling you, if you are in pain, you've got to try it. You can order a bottle of Omega XL now. Get a second bottle for free over at omegaxl.com/news. That is omegaxl.com/news. While all of this other stuff is going on, the World Health Organization is assembling member states and figures from COVID-19 immunization credential technology entities in order to create a, what they say is a trust framework to enable nations to check the legitimacy of people's proof of vaccination credentials. You, now you hear how I used so many words. This is how they explained it. It's like they're trying to use so many big words, I think, to avoid just saying they're meeting and going over these things, because they want to be able to push a vaccine passport. They say it will make it easier to share and verify an individual's proof of vaccination during international travel. So this is, again, very strange timing, because you've got England that is dropping all of their COVID restrictions. You've got places all around the world that are dropping it. And then you've got the United States themselves, who are now, you know, slowly rolling back everything, not admitting that they were wrong the whole time. They're not doing that. They're just very slowly, quietly rolling back these things. And it's all due to the science, of course. That's what they would tell you, is that they're just following the science. But even so, the World Health Organization still pushing for this framework for vaccine passports. Do they, like, do they have TVs? Do they watch what's going on when they push these things in Canada, and all of the pushback that they got in America when Biden tried to make the mandate just for the federal employees and for employers with 100 employees or more? It's like, do you guys realize this has been rejected, very strongly rejected all across the world? And yet still here they are trying to push for it after the pandemic is over.
When last, and this is an open question, but when last in human history did you see this much of a rejection, a global rejection of anything? So they're so used to being able to force feed society that they're just doubling down. They go, well, it's always worked, and just go again, double down. Just pray. But the people don't want this. Doesn't matter. We've always been able to convince them. We've always been able to coerce them, to fleece them. Mm-hmm. Just double down. That's how I feel they operate. Because that, there's nothing else to me that makes sense. Because if there's any sense of reality, right, seeing truth for what it is, the people are resisting. I mean, look what Trudeau just went through.
Yeah.
I mean, people are fed up. People are fed up in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, in Australia, all over the world. So it must be that they're just so used to that. No, we will force you because we're used to getting our will in our way, like a toddler, right? And so this time around, people just should keep staying. No.
Yes, and stay vigilant, because if you think that, look, there, I think they're, in the words of our friend Steve Dace, it does appear that they are, at least here in this country, taking the COVID off-ramp. But that doesn't mean that they are still trying to, you know, build these frameworks to fall back on quietly behind the scenes.
Yeah, and we shouldn't just gloss over that. Like, Steve's point is really important. Like, they are.
It does seem like
that's good, right? Like, you know, part of this, you know, I talk to people who own small businesses, and they're like, I run a restaurant. We have a 4% profit margin.
Right.
We can't make money without liberals coming here. Like, we need everybody out. We don't need just conservatives out. It's great that conservatives are out. We're really happy they're supporting us. But we need liberals out here, too. We need society to get back to normal. So the off-ramp is a real positive. Like, part of me is hesitant to just destroy them about their history until we're fully on the off of the off-ramp. And then they need to take every little bit of it, because I don't want them to reverse it just because we're yelling at them. But it is good to see. Like, I mean, you know, it's not only been mask mandates lifted over the past couple of days in places like New York and California, but also vaccine mandates are coming off too, which is really, I think, encouraging. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I think cynical, right? Right before the State of the Union, they want the pictures, the footage of everyone there without masks on. They want to be able to say to their voters going into this election that they beat COVID.
We did
I just don't. Look, the American people, they've made all sorts of decisions I don't understand.
We know.
You know. But I think they do see this. I think they see right through this. They do see that this was there was tons of overreach by the government on this stuff. And that the fact that we are now past the worst parts of it, they can see that, like, they kept the kids are still in masks in some of these places, even though they lifted the mandates. It
not
still might
schools.
Be a couple more weeks. New York City is still has them on. They won't know until next week whether they're lifting it in the nation's largest school district.
Yeah.
This is bonkers. There's never been an ounce of science that would support any of that. And I do think that parents were the ones driving this pushback and were, I think, successful.
Yes.
This is not Russia. This is the United States of America. Yeah. We lead the government here, not the other way around.
But it shows you when we push, things will change. We just need to push hard enough.
Yeah.
The two areas where they're not caving is children, who are the least susceptible for any critical, you know, complications of COVID. And then airplanes.
And airplanes.
Right.
That's
I mean, literally the cleanest air.
So you're going to cancel mask mandates for Sarah and I, the adults, but when we go get on a plane, now it doesn't apply all of a sudden.
Well, when your kids go to school, they still have to wear the mask.
And so why? Because it is a tool.
Yeah.
It's a big stick.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big stick to enforce if they need to. So once they let go of airplane masks, I feel like they're almost, it's out of their hands. But to roll it back, because that's a big stick, it's mode of travel and transportation. And so it's, I think that's the last thing to go, honestly.
It's true. And like, we look at this and like, okay, this is insane, right? Airplanes and schools are the two most, like, why would those be the last two? They're the last two because that's where they have the most control.
The federal,
right? They have control over it and they can just do it.
Well, not schools.
The lesson, not schools, but, you know, governments still have control.
Right,
like, you know, if you're at a private school, you haven't been dealing with this for a long time.
Right, yeah.
So the answer here is not just, okay, well, we shouldn't have vaccine mandates or we should do better on the next pandemic or whatever. It's take as many of these institutions out of the hands of government as possible.
Yes.
And let people make their own choices as to what they do. You know, bring that down to the lowest level of control. You know, the level of control for the child should be the parents. Mm-hmm.
Let's walk this back to 2008. This is what happens when an airline takes bailout money. The Piper will call because they're private. They're not government institutions, but they took American Airlines, monster bailout from the government. Yeah. And so here comes the pandemic and they go, Oh, you will. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, they say. I mean, this is how they control the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just have a step in the right direction anyway, is our friend Clay Travis over at OutKick did say that Southwest has started serving alcohol again on their flights, which I am very excited about because yeah. I do not do flying very well. Mm. And I do need that.
But you do drinking very well. As we've seen on multiple power hours. Yeah.
I am very good
at it. Okay, wait a minute. I got to stand up for my girl here. Stu, in his happy hour, does drinking very well, okay?
I don't know about that.
It depends on your criteria very well.
What do you consider
it?
In volume. Yes. Okay, I don't know if it's well, but
it's
in volume.
Quantity, not quality.
Actually beat me on that one, Stu.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
I think so.
I don't know. Every time I do one of those, the audience is constantly like, comments saying, Stu, just skip 3 shots. It's like, once I get past 30, I don't know what happens. Did you skip them?
Oh, not on purpose.
That's what they say. You know, and I
thought you were moderating that thing.
Listen, you try to wrangle four men at the same time who are taking a shot a minute. It's hard, all right? We gotta go to break. First, we want to thank our sponsor. We're talking about COVID. Our sponsor, mygotodoc.com. So, look, the COVID off-ramp is obviously being taken by the Biden administration, but that doesn't mean that you still shouldn't be prepared in the event that you do catch COVID. And a lot of people don't know, like, where is a doctor that I can find that will actually treat it with things that I want them to treat it with? Where can I actually even get my prescriptions filled? Because there are so many pharmacies now who are not dispensing this off-label medication. And then there are pharmacies who are way upcharging these actual prescriptions. Well, you gotta go to mygotodoc.com. Even if you are low risk, if you are high risk, whatever the case may be, mygotodoc.com was designed by Dr. Saeed Haider, and he's a COVID expert. This is all he does. He's treated over 40,000 patients with zero deaths. You can register for free, ask as many questions as you need to, and most importantly, they're going to connect you to pharmacies that ship you a full 28 doses of ivermectin for less than anywhere else online. I've been there. I did it. I have my medicine just in case anything happens, and I have it at home when I need it. You got to go do the same. It is mygotodoc.com, mygotodoc.com. Joe Rogan slammed Bill Gates and the Gates Foundation for buying up a ton of farmland across the United States, as well as his health initiatives. You know, it's interesting because Joe Rogan does bring up some great points. This man is always talking to people about being so healthy, but you know what? I'll just let Joe Rogan speak for himself. Watch.
He keeps saying that we've got to eat less meat and, you know, we've got to cut our consumption of meat out to be healthy and that we're going to get used to these meat alternatives. When a guy like that says that, I'm like, are you making money because of this? Like, why are you saying that? And by the way, you look like like, because if you're eating those plant-based burgers or whatever the you're doing, like, you're obese. Like, a guy like that telling people about he's got these breasts Moops. And this gut, and I'm like, this is crazy. You're one of the richest guys on earth. You have access to the best nutrients, the best. You could have an amazing trainer. You could be in phenomenal shape, and you're giving out public health advice. Your health is piss poor. I'm not a doctor, but when you've got man boobs and a gut and you're walking around and you have these like toothpick arms, I'm like, hey, buddy, you're not healthy.
You can't argue with that. I don't know. You cannot argue with that. I do just want to say I'm interested to hear what both of you have to say because we do have a carnivore here and a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, look, the problem.
Look at that. That is a picture. Picture of health right there.
Oh, yeah.
Look at those. Look at that.
The line between Bill Gates and health is not resources, though. He doesn't want to. He's a nerd, right?
He's not an athlete.
Right.
He probably hasn't run.
You think nerds can't be fit?
They can be, but he has no desire to be. He's already got the billions of dollars. He doesn't need to be in shape. He's beyond that point, fair. I think, at this point.
I can get whatever I want with my money. Yeah. I don't care about how I look.
Right.
Yeah.
To Rogan's point, though, I mean, like, you know, as you point out, like, I'll eat those Beyond Burgers. They're pretty good, but they're not healthy.
They are good, yeah.
they're not freaking healthy at all. I mean, they don't even advertise themselves as healthy. They are filled with all sorts of oils and stuff that to make them taste good, right? So they don't taste like crap. I've had the old school veggie burgers as well. And they might be healthy, but they don't taste very good. So, I mean, this is, Bill Gates, I don't know what he does at this point. Health advice is not what we need.
Well, he's buying up all the farmland. He's the largest.
I will tell you this. Largest agricultural single farmland owner in the U.S. had never grown a seed in his life until 2 years ago. He's buying up farmland. Insane. Millions of acres for a reason. Is it just to drive cows off of our land? I'm a carnivore. I'm going to eat red meat, baby, and that cow's bell can ring all the way down because we need muscle, because we need to grow men again. But no, I'm married to a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So in my household, it's not fun to barbecue for one person, right?
You have two separate meals every day?
It's interesting. It's very interesting. And so I have tried your side of life. And brother, I'm just going to tell you, it is not tasty. And when I read the label, it ain't that healthy.
It's not, but I will say I do
respect Steve because my wife's a vegetarian. But I'm just telling you this. I agree with Rogan. That guy should not be giving me health advice. But again, if Gates opens his mouth, it's because he's making money.
Mm-hmm.
If he opens his mouth, he's making money. He's buying farmland. Why?
Yeah.
Because the next pandemic is not a virus. The next battle in this country is going to be food. Who eats, who doesn't eat? And it's always in that kind of a situation, it comes to staple food. So it's big farmland, it's corn, it's maize, mm-hmm. it's potatoes. Go look at him buying potato property, Idaho, all over the place. So he may be saying don't eat meat because he knows he's going to be controlling all the other crops soon. So what? I go, no, you should eat meat. Don't eat whatever he grows.
It is just to be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist here for a second. It is interesting too because I think Bill Gates is one of the same people who they have these conversations about trying to put vaccines in food.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he's buying up all the farmland. Mm.
Hey, Sarah, don't eat meat. I'm going to own all the corn and potato property. You should eat what I grow. Mm-hmm. Oh, heck no. Now I'm going to go on the Rogan diet. You know, he was on an all protein diet.
Carnivore,
Rogan ate 30 days straight with some of his friends, right?
So yeah. Maybe works we do out that. For hours a day, right? Like what other I think Mark Zuckerberg eats meat. Does he look healthy? Right?
No.
Like these tech nerds are not they all
but
look
still,
like
you
they've
can't
been in front
say
of a
I'm
blue
not
light.
Healthy because I eat meat. I'm not saying you're not healthy because
no,
you
no,
don't
no,
eat
no,
meat.
No, no, no.
I'm just saying that like
an all meat diet
but
is not healthy.
Zuckerberg
the
is
unhealthy
not,
thing is the tech nerd thing.
It's but Mark Zuckerberg I don't think is trying to convince people to change their diet.
Yeah, no,
right? And that's the difference.
Yeah, look, you shouldn't give advice on something that you know when people can visibly see that you're not an example of it,
mm-hmm.
right? That's why they don't have fat personal trainers.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like it's just not a good idea.
Which is also interesting because Bill Gates is constantly on to like discuss vaccines and COVID, and it's like he's not a doctor, guys.
No.
Like why do you continue to
because
listen to this guy?
Patents.
He's not an expert. I know, but he's not the expert that they should be talking to about
exactly.
these things. He will, however, tell them exactly what they want to hear. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back. It blows my mind every time they would have okay, I want to get back to we've got like a minute and a half here. I want to talk about vegetarian food for a second.
Okay.
So
wow.
She was like, yes!
No one's ever asked me about this before.
Yeah. Yeah. What is like the best fast food vegetarian meal? Because I know you brought in the KFC. There's like a KFC fake chicken,
yes.
and it was actually really good.
That's
I tried
the Beyond
it.
Chicken, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Well, I don't eat that kind of
if
stuff.
You talk like
at
a meat
all,
replacement or just meal? Because
just meal.
Honestly, a pad thai with tofu is probably a really good meal.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good pad thai.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have thai.
Yeah.
With tofu, I just toss the tofu, but I can stand that.
Why are you getting it? Just tell them.
A pad thai with tofu.
No, but if
only
I had
you
to eat, no,
tofu.
I dunk a ton of meat in there. But if Philippa was making it or whatever,
okay.
I'd say a pad thai with tofu. But then I just slowly hand the tofu.
That is
off.
Good. Thai food is a good go-to
yeah,
for vegetarians.
It is.
When you're talking about the burgers, the Impossible
yeah.
burger is an interesting one in comparison. I think it tastes better than the Beyond one. But also the guy, I had the guy on the CEO of Impossible Foods, and he said, you know, in China, the communist government said that they had to cut their meat consumption by 50%. The communist government ruled to their people, wow, cut it by 50%. He goes, you know what happened? It went up by like 15%. He's like, you can't, this is not a government edict thing. Yeah. He's like, what's going to happen is if we can make this taste better and people want it, then people will change.
But Stu, why do you right call your food chicken when it's not chicken?
Well, you didn't do it. The company did it.
You did it. Stop calling your food meat when it's not.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.